Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today, we are going to talk about some of the most common and most expensive mistakes that couples make early on in the planning process and how you can make sure that you avoid them. The budget is often the most stressful component of planning a wedding, and there are several mistakes that I repeatedly see couples making. These mistakes can really add up and impact the entire planning process. Mistake one is booking your venue before you solidify your budget. Wedding planning lists commonly start with booking your venue. While this should really be the first thing that you book or lock in, it's definitely not the first planning task you need to tackle. If I could talk to couples right after they get engaged, I would make sure that they have the dreaded budget discussion before even looking at venues or other vendors online. In the second episode of this podcast, Don't Plan Your Wedding Backwards, I told you how to make sure that you are properly putting together your budget. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, make sure to check that out. Most couples will spend between 40 and 50% of their budget on their venue. Until you sit down and work through your budget and not just briefly discuss a general number, it's impossible to know what the dollar amount associated with that 40 to 50% is. If you commit to or fall in love with a venue or catering company that will take up significantly higher percentage of your budget, you'll be forced to either make tough cuts in other areas or more likely end up being over budget from the beginning. If you're in a traditional banquet hall or hotel type venue, that 40 to 50% is going to include the venue rental fees, ceremony and reception, the catering and bar costs, any service or staffing costs, so wait staff, bartenders, and taxes, service fees, and gratuities. If you're hosting your wedding in a unique venue or maybe your backyard, that 40 to 50% would include all of the above, so the catering, food, service, and staff, taxes and gratuities, but you're also going to need to include the rentals like the tent, tables, chairs, dishes, etc., into that 40 to 50%. So you can see a lot goes into that number, which is why it can be a huge expensive mistake if you don't have a solid understanding of your budget prior to committing to your venue. Mistake number two, and this is a big one, thinking a backyard wedding will save you money versus a banquet hall. While you can pull off a simple and cheap backyard wedding, it's often just as expensive, if not more, and a lot more work than you would be putting into a banquet hall or another traditional wedding venue. Most couples still want to have the structure or formality of a traditional wedding, even when they're in their backyard, which means that you need to essentially build the venue from the ground up. If you are thinking about a backyard wedding or a non-traditional venue, like a farmer's market or a space that is more a shell of a space and you have to bring in everything, you need to make sure to get the Backyard Wedding Guide. You can find it for free at planningcollective.com. And in that guide, I list out all of the items and things you're going to need to consider when you are building your own venue. So when you are in a space where you need to bring in a tent or all the tables, the caterer, the ice, the forks, the knives, the napkins, you need this guide to make sure you have thought about everything and what the cost will add up to before you make the official decision. Again, you can find that at planningcollective.com, and that is going to be in the Backyard Wedding Guide. Take some time to add up what those estimated costs will be for those items, and then compare it to the top choice if you were to have your wedding at a venue. Don't forget that you'll also be taking on the role of the venue or event planner, so there will be more planning time involved with a backyard event than there would be in a more traditional venue. Mistake number three, hiring your non-professional family and or friends as your vendors. This one might seem obvious, but you would be surprised how often I hear, my aunt is making our cake, or I have a college friend that wants to be a wedding photographer. And while the idea of saving money in these vendors can be appealing, it often results in added expenses and or last minute scrambling to hire somebody else if they back out. And because we're talking about budgeting mistakes here, let me share some real wedding scenarios that have cost my clients a load of money. I once had a friend of the bride's family that was supposed to cater the event. Unfortunately, they bailed after the couple had booked the venue, which was only in their budget because they were getting such a good deal on the catering costs. This meant that they had to go with a more traditional caterer that had a higher price point, and it cost them thousands more than they had anticipated because they were counting on a non-professional family caterer to help them out with this. We once had a bride's cousin who messed up the invitation designs, and they had to rush order from a template website, paying a lot more for overnight shipping than they would have if they had gone with that company a few weeks beforehand. This one was stressful. We once had friends of the groom offer to pack and clean up at the end of the night instead of having the caterers stay through the end of the party. Instead, the friends got drunk and left for an after party, and the couple lost their security deposit because their staff had to stay overtime. And one more well-intentioned story here for you. The mother of a bride wanted to make the desserts for a sweet station. Now, she was a really good baker, but their oven broke 2 days before the wedding, and they had to find a baker last minute, paying again for rush service fees, and they did also pay for repair fees that didn't end up solving the problem with the oven. So that was a very costly issue and added a bunch of stress in the couple of days before the wedding that they did not need to deal with. Now, I want to be very clear here. If your family member or friend is an actual wedding or event professional, that's not what I'm talking about here. You do want to be a little bit cautious about essentially mixing business with pleasure if you are hiring a professional that also happens to be a family member or friend. I still recommend you go the route that you would if you did not know them. Get that contract, get the pricing, get everything written down, and make it as much of a professional relationship as you can if you are working with a family member or a friend that is offering their services for free or discounted. What I'm talking about is the hobbyist. So like I mentioned, the cousin, the family friend, those that are interested or maybe have a hobby in what they're offering to help you with, but they don't actually do it as a business or have the professional experience in place to deal with all of those things that might pop up. And mistake number four, not having a miscellaneous category within your initial budget. It does not matter how detail-oriented you are with your budget and planning. There will always be surprise costs along the way. These typically pop up in the weeks or months just before the wedding. If your wedding will be at a traditional venue with minimal outside details or vendors involved, I suggest you plan on putting about 5% of the budget aside for miscellaneous costs. If you're at a unique venue or a backyard tented reception that we were talking about before, I recommend having closer to 10% for these unexpected costs. Here are some of the most commonly overlooked last-minute costs. Stamps for the invitation and the RSVP cards, delivery and service fees for rental items, late night or after hour pickup fees, gratuities for vendors or staff that go above and beyond for you, overtime fees for transportation or other vendors, and printing costs for things like programs, menus, place cards, etc. One last budget tip for you. I always recommend having between $200 to $500 in cash on hand on the day of the wedding. The amount would again depend on the number of vendors or variables that you have. If you have a lot of moving components, you might want to have more and smaller bills ready to hand out for those that are helping out. This way you can be prepared if you need to purchase something or have somebody run out to grab something for you, or if you want to tip an amazing staff member that's made the day extra special for you. All right, now here is the big question. What if you've already made some of these mistakes? It's okay. Most couples haven't planned a wedding before, so don't stress if things aren't perfect. Educating yourself about the process is the most important thing, and that's what you are doing right now. make sure that you head over to planningcollective.com and grab the free resources that are there for you to review. And you can join me in the Wedding Planning Blueprint course, where I go over the five pillars of planning your wedding to make sure that you have the foundation solid before moving on to the other details. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that I have found you before you've made any of these expensive mistakes. If you have any wedding planning questions or topics that you'd like to hear covered in future episodes, find me on Instagram at Planning Collectively or over on Facebook at Planning Collective. Thanks so much. I'll see you in the next episode.